I want to give you two areas in the Word to kind of look at, because without the book of Acts, we wouldn't have a church. Because Pentecost is actually the birthday of the church. So we're going to take you to Acts chapter 2. And I am going to give you the King James Version, because the NIV doesn't have the word fully come. So it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place, meaning they had been celebrating this feast for hundreds of years, but it had never manifested such as it was being prepared to be manifest. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say some, does it? All. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, some people teach that we only have a soul and a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says you are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit has an ability to speak. If you are anointed of the Holy Spirit, you can speak in a new language, never learned or never taught, but totally of Him. Verse 5. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. What a gift. Because how many know if you have a different language that you're brought up with, and all of a sudden you're in a different country and you hear your native tongue, there's something that happens on the interior. And I've experienced that. I've also been used by God to speak in a very foreign dialect from Russia. That happened years ago. And there was a lady in the church that particular night, and I had no clue what was coming out of my mouth, but all of a sudden my mouth went off and did things. And after the service, this lady came and she's crying and crying, and she says, "I've never heard about God's love in my native tongue. How did you learn my language?" Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. I was just as stunned as her. Why? Because God's ability to use your spirit is not like when He uses your mind, will, and emotions. So get ready for more. Utterly, verse 7, amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. How many of you have ever been accused of being drunk? Well, I'm going to pick on Judy tonight. She doesn't know that, but this one particular night, myself, Pauline, Isabel, her mother, and Judy had gone to a conference in upstate New York. I don't remember the name of the church, but the Holy Ghost fell on Judy, and all she could do to get into her car was to go in by capooch on all fours. I had to drive because there was no way she could function. And anybody that would have looked at her would have said, "She's as drunk as a skunk." I know you were drunk. The only problem is she had this Ford machine that we go to the garage to try to fill it up. And she is laughing, laughing, laughing. She can't function. She can't even sit. She's still in her fours. And I said, Judy, I can't put gas in this machine unless you do something. Well, it was funny.
If anybody ever wants to know what it's like, I mean, the best way you could be drunk is to be with Brother Kim, who God has blessed him, okay? And there's nothing the man can't do or figure out. And I have many confirmations.
I couldn't get the gas cap off. Well, I was a little bit drunk, too. You got to remember that. And I'm trying to get this cotton picking cap off. And all I can do is laugh because all four of them were inside that van. And the laughter was going all over the neighborhood. It's probably 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're not going to make it home if we don't put gas in. And I can't get the gas cap off.
How'd you get it off?
She finally got out of the car on her fours. She tried to peek through the window, and she was no way. She tried to explain, and she'd giggle in between. Are you hearing?
Imagine if the police had come and given you a breathalyzer.
Well, all I can tell you is when the Holy Ghost invaded Pensacola, Florida, they gave out tickets for drunken driving, Holy Ghost drunken driving. They also did the same thing in one city in England. I don't remember the name of the city. But I was there myself when they were 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were all at the donut place trying to get donuts, and kids would walk in off the street, and they're weaving, totally drunk, and the cops are there. And we look at them and we say, what do you do with these? He says, we don't let them drive. Are you hearing? Some, however, made fun and said they have too much wine. Holy Ghost wine does not give you a leftover or a hangover. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you can look it up in Joel chapter 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women. I stress that fact because some people still don't allow women to function in the body of Christ. And all I can say to them is pray. I will show wonders in the heavens. I'm sorry, I skipped one. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you hear? Everyone, not some. Men of Israel, listen. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. I'm going to stop there because some people don't like the idea that Jesus had to die so that we could come to life. This was God's set purpose. Then the next verse says, and foreknowledge. He knew it ahead of schedule. How many of you have ever had a bad season? A bad bunch of months? Amen. Horrible. Bunch of years, yes. Stinky ones. Come on. Those of you who had a few stinky years, let me know. Thank you. Again, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Did he know? that you would have some stinky ones.
Yes.
Yes. What's the purpose? Because he's got something planned down the road to let you see yourself. And when the spotlight is on your pain or your discomfort or your headache, problems, whatever that happened to be, God's set purpose and foreknowledge is still at stake. He does not miss what you're going through. However, I remember crying out to God saying, I want to get rid of this. And he would kindly respond what he did to St. Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And I would say, ouch. Because I wanted to get rid of the problem.
Amen.
God's set purpose is so that he is forming his heart inside of you to make you an instrument of his grace to others. They put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I don't want to go any further, but I want to ask you to check that balance out. There's a lot more good stuff there. And what I'm trying to make you aware of is this whole 24-hour period is going to have an impact on some of you. And what I'm asking is that you would take quality time at some point tomorrow, maybe tonight, maybe during the night, whenever he presses into your heart, please obey. He may get you up at 3 a.m. If he does, say, thank you, Lord, I'm ready. How many have ever had him wake you up in the middle of the night? Look around. See, you need to see that it is something he does. Why? Because the house is quiet. Amen? The house is quiet. Don't turn the TV on. My suggestion is open your Bible and say, okay, Lord, what is it? What do you want? What's up? What's next? What are you doing in me for this Pentecost? Be nosy. It's not all about them. It's about us. Try it. Say, it's not all about them. 2,000 years ago. It's about us. He's forming a body of believers.
He's forming a body of believers.
Where each vessel
will do a work.
And corporately,
we will do a work.
And it's starting in Chicopee.
So
don't grin, Linda. But all teasing aside, yes, he chose us to be here. The miracles that he made manifest for us to be here were intense. In fact, the other day, my wife and I were driving in from Vermont, and I wanted to tell her about the miracle of Chicago. But you know something? She did not have ears to hear, because the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. There are times that even those that are the closest to you cannot receive what you have experienced, because they'll look at you and they'll say, he's lost his marbles. But my wife does know that a long time ago. You know, I did lose my marbles. I don't want to claim I still have them. But one of the things he had showed me a dream. And in the dream, I was in Chicago. And it's when my son graduated from basic training. And we were at a motel near a landing strip from the Chicago O'Hare Airport. And in fact, believe it or not, there was another airport that was from the Navy that was right there. And that's where he was received after his basic training. And the Lord was trying to tell me to make sure that we were moving into Chicopee. And I didn't understand. I just did not understand. I mean, you know, when you come from Route 91 or the mall area, and you're on 90, there's a great big sign. It must be, at least maybe 4 or 5 feet wide, and it says Chicopee in great big letters with a little arrow. That sign, God changed it, and I literally read Chicago. And I pulled off because I was panicking. And, you know, it's not something that God does to make you happy. He does something to shake you, to confirm to you, this is Chicago to me. All right? This is where you are. The dream was in Chicago. So now I'm thinking, well, I must be nuts. I literally must be nuts. Because how can Chicopee become Chicago? And all I'm thinking is mafia. You know how the brain goes? So I happened to mention this dream to Tom, the young man that I had been working with at that time, crying out to the Lord, where do you want this church? So I shared with him about the dream, and I shared with him about the Chicago sign. So the next day he calls me back and he says, are you aware that my mother and my grandmother are Polish? And I said, yeah, I know that. But his other ancestors are French. He said, well, are you aware that when the Polish people came from Poland and landed at Ellis Island, if they heard the word Chicopee, they thought they were going to Chicago? I said, you've got to be kidding. So he posted all this information that's been made public years and years ago, that people who came from Poland heard the word Chicopee and registered Chicago. His grandmother and his ancestors on the Polish side landed in Chicopee thinking they were in Chicago, Illinois. So, is it too hard for God?
Can I tell you something else?
Yes, dear. Does that get your goat? Does that irritate you? Pray for the city. Hear me. Pray for the city. There's a reason God has picked Chicopee. Okay? And he knows. In fact, last week I was down by City Hall twice. So, you know, just obey. Don't ask any questions as best you can. Don't tell the neighborhood what you're doing. You don't need to, because first of all, they won't understand you. You're a little bit cuckoo, in case you forgot. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Father, use me for your glory.
Use me for your glory.
This is Pentecost.
This is Pentecost.
We're commemorating.
We're commemorating.
And we're excited.
And we're excited.
Because you're going to do something special.
Because you're going to do something special.
For each individual member.
For each individual member.
Of the body of Christ.
Of the body of Christ.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm expecting.
I'm expecting.
And I will give the glory.
And I will give the glory.
To Jesus Christ our Lord.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other. It's what you got.